80% of families with a special needs child will be divorced by that time the special needs child is 21. Mm-hmm. So it is an extremely high percentage who go through divorce because there is added pressure when you have a child who is not in the norm. Social pressures and home pressures that really take a lot. A lot of times it's two parents needing to be helping that child all the time. So when you go through a divorce and then you're going to be the only parent trying to figure out what other resources are there?
Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. Certified divorce coach and credentialed mediator Paulette Rigo invites you to grab a favorite beverage, find a cozy seat, soothe your soul, and take a listen. This podcast was created and inspired by our courageous journeys, love for connecting with others, and having meaningful conversations that teach, impact, and heal through sharing our stories. In each episode, Paulette will be joined by some of the most experienced and compelling experts in all things divorce and transformation. Listen to prepare and thrive through the toughest chapters as we reveal our hardships, celebrate our lessons learned, and see the future clearly with encouragement, hope, and joy. Leave feeling empowered and prepared to approach life and maintain our dignity no matter what. Each podcast episode focuses on sharing real conversations from real life situations. Isn't it time you thrived?
Hello, and welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. Here's a new episode. I am so excited. It's springtime coming, and we are about to approach a conversation today with expert Susan Korb Bernstein. She's the CEO of Divorce Coach. My mouth isn't working today. Divorce Coach Plus. And what makes our conversation unique today, we're going to focus on how to get unstuck from a narcissistic, abusive relationship. And you don't have to be married to be in one of those kind of relationships, but it makes it more complex, more complicated, and a little bit more of an entanglement, shall we say, if there is a marriage involved. But in addition to that, Susan is an expert. When you need that additional sparkle and extra resources about needing the additional consideration of divorcing when you have a child of special needs, Susan is here today. Welcome to the show. I'm so honored to have you. Thank you, Susan, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Paulette.
My honor. And we're going to jump right in. Just a little bit of background about her. What makes her incredibly qualified about this topic is that she has her bachelor's, master's, and doctorate in education, leadership, and child development, and was a school teacher, an administrator, and a college professor until she had her first child in 2004. At that point, she became an educational consultant until 2014, when she filed for divorce, drum roll, and transitioned to divorce consultant as her divorce story made three national television shows. Now, let's start at the beginning. Can you tell a little bit about your own personal background, of how you knew that you were going to embark on a challenging, to say the least, divorce story?
Absolutely. I met my spouse when we were teenagers, and I worked three jobs to put him through medical school and residency and open his own medical practice. And I knew money was extremely important to him. And I knew that he did not want to divide assets, which you do in the state that I live in New York. So I took a lot of planning in advance to try to figure out how to be strategic and be safe for myself and my children when I was divorcing someone who was a narcissist like him.
And did you have a revelation and wake up one day and go, aha, he's a narcissist? Or was it one of those, and forgive my sarcasm, but you know, it's not like a light switch Or was it? Did you slowly work your way into that decision? Did you have to do research, or how did you go about that revelation? Because I know it's not something that we're born. We don't study it in junior high, and like, right? How did you know? How did you experience that, or just come to that aha moment?
Absolutely. Like many victims of narcissists, you think it's you. You think you're doing something wrong. You don't understand why you feel so, you know, stuck in a toxic relationship. You don't understand what you can do differently. You keep trying and trying and trying and get knocked down again and again. And it certainly becomes very abusive. And as educated as I was, you know, I have my doctorate. I did not even know that I was in a narcissistic relationship. I didn't know that there was trauma bonding. I didn't know what I was experiencing. I was in a fog, as they call it. I was being gaslighted, and I just knew something wasn't right. And it was one of those marriages where you never know what happens behind closed doors. And I really didn't feel I could tell any friends or family what was happening. And so I didn't have a therapist. I didn't know. I just knew something was wrong. So it took a lot of years to gain that courage to say, I want to leave, especially knowing there were threats there that I couldn't divorce because money did not want to be divided, even though we earned that money together since we were teenagers. So it was a really scary, hard situation. And I didn't have any resources to help me at the time.
What were some of the signs? Was it like a conversation? Was there some sort of clue?
The signs were really the mistreatment of my children. It was one thing when someone mistreats you, you make excuses. You think someone's having a bad day. You think it's fixable. You try to focus on the good times. But when your children get abused verbally as well, physically, psychologically, you know that as a parent, you have to step in and put a stop to that. So it really was seeing the relationship with how my children were treated, with blame shifting, with triggers, with projection, with you know, everything related to codependence, and knowing that this was not the life I wanted to lead.
Perfect. It's hard to know, right? Like you, I love how you said, well, I don't love how you said, but the clarity of you think it's you. Right? You think it's you, like, it must be me. What did I say? What did I do? What did I do to provoke that? Like, it, you know, and you start to question yourself. So you maybe stop talking and keep your emotions to yourself. And maybe you just put on a little black dress and keep smiling and pretend everything is perfect. And not that I want to make fun of little black dresses, but ladies, you know what I mean, right? We all have, who here has a little black dress? I probably have five of them, maybe more. It's that feeling of just keeping on the happy face and going, but you, all of a sudden you get to that breaking point. What was the breaking point for you? Was it a matter of that, take me to the day where you finally, as you said, gained the courage to file?
The breaking point was really my safety and the mistreatment of my children and their safety. And I knew that it had to be done, and it had to be done very soon before there was a serious irreparable injury, and I had to get out. So that's when I started trying to find divorce attorneys and therapists and resources and help, and creating a team to help me come up with a plan to get out and get safe for myself and my children, knowing that if I didn't do it then, it would be tragic.
Now, did having the background in education and child development help you, or did that hinder you be able to, could you separate the book knowledge, the wisdom, the experience that you had intellectually from yet the border in which you have as a mother to then be, you know, that, that mama bear that we all have to like, okay, do what's best for the child?
And that's true. Initially, I thought, oh, the children need, you know, a family unit where they all live under one roof and all of that. So it took a mind shift. And certainly from my educational leadership experience dealing with change, I knew change can be for the better. So I kept focusing on change is going to be okay. Change is scary, but there are positives to change. So that experience and change did help me get through it.
So take me to the moment when your divorce case made the national news. How did you handle that drama personally? It must have been crushing. And how did you protect your children? Because that must have been, I'm not sure their ages, but I'm sure they weren't, infants. It takes a while to get to that point, but how did you handle that drama for them and lessening the impact?
Luckily at that point, it was a year and a half into the divorce when it made the national news, because it was such a crazy divorce. So it escalated to the point of that. And at that point, all three of my children had therapists. We were doing double sessions twice a week to deal with news stories that were coming out, how they could internalize it, knowing that their father was this crazy monster who used to look like a well-respected doctor in the community. And then the doors were open and people saw the truth. So lots of therapy sessions, luckily an amazing legal team to help us as well. And really friends that stepped in to support. And as you know, creating that friendship can take you far. So people who actually, once I was able to talk about what happened behind closed doors, my friends stepped up and were there for me.
I can only imagine the, the anxiety, is that the word I'm searching for? That you must have felt thinking, oh my God, here we go. Your privacy is shot to hell, right? And your immediate instinct is to probably shut the blinds, lock the doors, disconnect the phone, get off social media, and just sort of, want to go to like Vanuatu or somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Islands. That's what I would have wanted to have done. So, but you probably couldn't do that, right?
When you have children, you can't hide under your covers. You have to be a role model for them. But to be honest, of course, I felt those things, but I also felt a total sense of relief. We didn't have to fake it. We didn't have to hide. We were now safe. The police were now involved. Authorities now knew the damage that was being done and the abuse. And it was a sense of relief that this deep, dark secret was now out there and that there was evidence behind it. So it's really, obviously it takes a lot of planning and courage and support when you are in such a toxic, abusive relationship to be safe. And the resources to tell your audience are out there and people will understand, and just to not wait until it's too late. And thankfully, my children and I are safe now.
You could finally be authentic.
Absolutely. Correct. It's an amazing feeling.
I'm wallowing in it now and I'm nodding and agreeing with you. There is power when you feel inspired and empowered to now be able to hold your head up high and feel like I'm not crazy.
Absolutely. And the knowledge came, the knowledge that I did not know about narcissists. It came out with all of that. And when you have knowledge, you're empowered and you can easily make changes and do what needs to be done. And that's why I went into certified divorce coaching, to help others and to give them that empowerment to get unstuck from their toxic relationships and to know that there is happiness at the end of the tunnel and change can be good.
The journey that you went through has been difficult, but it's produced positive results by you being able to help others. And that's why we are blood sisters. Love it. I want to shift the conversation a little bit to this additional consideration and responsibility, really, when you have a child with special needs. So you have a child with special needs, and that just adds to the additional burden and responsibility of knowing how to create the divorce situation so that you can protect that child. What are the additional considerations when divorcing, when you do have a child with special needs? And I know there's a continuum from, the spectrum, but I'm assuming much of them are similar. Can you walk us through what that is like?
Absolutely. And I can tell you some numbers first. We know half this country gets divorced, but 80% of families with a special needs child will be divorced by that time the special needs child is 21. Mm-hmm. So it is an extremely high percentage who go through divorce because there is added pressure when you have a child who is not in the norm. Social pressures and home pressures that really take a lot. A lot of times it's two parents needing to be helping that child all the time. So when you go through a divorce and then you're going to be the only parent trying to figure out what other resources are there and making sure details are in the contract. We know normally in a divorce decree, it talks about who makes education decisions, who makes health decisions. Well, a special needs child has education and health issues. And if both parents are not on the same page, co-parenting can be extremely difficult. So normally in most divorce decrees, they say, oh, 50% shared decision-making, but it's hard to do that when you have a special needs child if they're not on the same page. So if you think that you have the best interest in the child, really fighting for that before the divorce agreement is signed, because as we know, once it's signed, it's hard to go back. Considerations also about guardianship. If you don't think your child will be dependent after they are an adult and you'll need to be a guardian, that can be a whole nother court battle. So putting that information in the divorce contract while you're going through it to save time and money and headaches and not reopening and rehashing all of it.
I can only imagine the additional stress of having a child with special needs, having three children that did not have special needs, although one of my children had an IEP, which, you know, gave me a world of a glimpse, a tiny, teeny little glimpse of what that felt like. The other two kids, you know, there were no issues with test taking. There were no issues with where they sat in the classroom. There were no issues with any special accommodations. And silly me just thought, oh, well, you know, what's the big deal? And then by the time my youngest one was 3, 4, 5, one of the teachers at a school he went to noticed that he was memorizing the pictures and not actually reading the words. And if we, the letters, so if we, little, but if they, we covered up the picture, he couldn't read what it was. But if we opened the picture, he would say, oh, truck. You know, it's like, so we're like, okay. And come to find central auditory processing, which I was like, what is that? Like, hello, I don't know anything about this. I did not have a degree that you do. I studied journalism. So this was, and I was a dance teacher and quite knowledgeable about why you teach certain children certain ways when you're trying to teach them glee side, pas de deux. Some need them of visual. They need to see you do it. So it's a very visual learner versus others need to hear it auditory and hear the instructions, and others are more kinesthetic, hence neurolinguistic programming. And I've learned a lot about that through National Association of Divorce Professionals, being a divorce specialist that you are as well. But as a parent, I digress. Going back to that, I had zero knowledge of this. So I brought him to Mass General Hospital. We did the whole test, and it was really helpful to know that he processed words 86% out of one ear, but only 13% out of the other. And as soon as that, we could place him in the room at the right place so that the teacher could be at the right place for him to be able to hear and process auditory knowledge. So that is my minimal experience with that, but I can only imagine. And it did bring a lot of additional challenges in communicating with my spouse about finding specialists and the right schools and the right teachers and all that. And I can just have so much empathy for anyone and everyone that has a child of whatever spectrum of special needs that goes way beyond where my kid sits in the classroom. So that really makes me sad, Susan, to think that 80% of marriages will dissolve and end by the time the child is 21. I have so much more. I did not know that statistic, everybody. I hope you all understand that and have compassion. So that is really it's heartbreaking. And what additional tools can you give those families with special needs kids to be able to maybe persevere through a relationship and make it work? Is there some magic potion that you can put on this to make it easier from your own experience? What works?
Certainly all those experiences you talked about that you went through your child with, just having the details in a contract, as we all know, we say, hopefully you put your divorce contract in the drawer. You never have to pull it out unless there's a problem. But if you have a detailed contract that talks about recognizing this child's special needs and that together both parents will be on board and follow what the doctors and therapists recommend, both in the school and at home and supporting. And that brings us to the financial part. Many times contracts are not detailed. So health insurance for a special needs child, if they have medical and therapeutic issues, it can be astronomical. So if one parent commits to paying 100% with no cap, especially if, as you mentioned, as your child became 3, 4, 5, you saw more issues arising, the older they get, more things pop out. A lot of children are not even identified with special needs until 4th grade. And then they get to middle school or high school, and girls even later, because it comes out later for a lot of girls. And private schools and all the extra accessories and medical you need. So when you're making the add-on section of your divorce contract that goes along with spousal support and child support, you need to put in the right percentages and the right, if you want to cap it, and figure out how you're going to pay for it, because the numbers can add up to hundreds of thousands, especially if you don't have health insurance to cover it. So all of those details are extremely important.
Beautiful. That's very helpful. I also assume, and correct me if I am wrong, that it adds a different dynamic between the chemistry of the entire family, meaning when you're going through that analysis or the discovery phase of to what degree does the child have a special needs issue, the other children's needs kind of make a little bit of a, you know, side bar, right? It's like, well, you're independent, you'll be fine. I got to help this one over here. And if you're a solo parent, that must add a much more difficulty to it. I do remember that one child needed a lot more help with homework, and the others were like, I'm fine, don't worry. But they would also be like, mom won't notice if I don't do it really well, because she's, you know, and it must just add so much more, not just with the couple, with the parents, but with the family dynamics as a whole. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. The dynamics are multidimensional when there is a difference in that family. And then when that family splits and you're trying to form a new family dynamic, you really need, that's where the resources, you need to take advantage of it. And hopefully the parents will, at least if they can't support each other, support that child so that there's less obstacles in the way for future success, and keeping in mind the other children and what they are going through. So finding that balance, very good points.
And you do have other interests besides helping people through divorce. Tell me a little bit about running a multi-million dollar real estate company. That is fascinating.
Thank you. Well, to be honest, the certified divorce coaching is my passion, but my husband at the time and I owned a ton of real estate. And in New York, it's equitable distribution, and you split your assets. So we split the real estate. And I never thought I would have a real estate holding company and own and manage properties. But it is important to understand in divorce all the assets, all the debts that go through it. And as a full-time single mom, knowing that you have more than one money stream coming in, I know all the working moms out there, you know, have side jobs and all of that. So that is one of the ways that I pay my bills and get the vacations and, you know, do all the things that are needed to do. But I would not have chosen that had I not gotten divorced. So I kind of fell into it when we split up our assets, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It's interesting the things women and men learn about your assets and liabilities when you go through divorce. So you do work with men too. This isn't like a woman-centric conversation. How do you find that men handle differently divorcing?
You know what? It's hard to generalize. People do ask that question. I've had men cry to me as well. I've had men really concerned about the best interests of their children, just like women, and men concerned about how do I co-parent effectively? How do I tell my spouse I want a divorce? I don't want to hurt their feelings. So a lot of times I do find similarities between it. And nowadays, sometimes men are not the money makers anymore. You know, it's a lot of the women are the money makers. So knowing that men need that support system, traditionally women have their friends and their clubs and their neighbors and all of that. And men do not have that social circle as much as women. So I find that a lot of males like to come to a coach. They might not like to say they're going to a therapist, but they like to say, I'm having, you know, a session with my coach today, because men like having action plans. And as certified divorce coaches, that's what we do. We focus forward with an individual action plan so they can get unstuck. So I do think men are seeking out these resources that in the past they didn't know about, but are taking advantage of how beneficial they can be.
Susan, thank you for joining the show. I am so honored and thrilled to have met you. I am still at odds with the COVID pandemic, with how much I have a love-hate relationship with it, because I have to say, if it weren't for the transformation of 2020 in so many negative ways, I know that we probably would not have met and become connected and be able to really raise our voices to help and assist so many people through the process of divorce, like both you and I have endured in many different ways, but in so many similarities. So thank you for your time. And to anybody who does have a special needs child who is struggling, this is your go-to person. Please find her. She is the CEO, founder, director, certified divorce coach behind Divorce Coach Plus. You'll find her all over social media and all over the news, fortunately or unfortunately. So please don't be shy. We understand what it's like to have endured that. And thank you again. I'm so glad we spent this time together.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And I'm always happy to educate others and be there as a resource for them, just the same way as you are, and spreading the knowledge. So thank you, Paulette.
My pleasure. And keep thriving in the chaos, everyone. For those of you on Clubhouse, Wednesdays at 7, Sundays at 8 Eastern Standard Time, you'll find Alyssa Panitz and I there, and the Divorce Hour radio show and my podcast, The Thriving in Chaos Project, everybody. As we say, keep thriving in the chaos, because there's no other way. Thrive.
Thanks for tuning in, and make sure if you want to talk to us or ask us questions, you can always email us at thrivinginchaospodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.